I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. I count on one thing, but the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. But the same God who's never made is working all things out. You're working all things out, Lord. Yes, I will lift you high. The lowest valley, yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Oh, my day. Oh, yes, I will. I'm singing for all my day. Oh, yes, I will. I choose to
Good morning, Asbury friends and family. We're so glad to have you worship with us this day. As we gather together this morning, a couple of announcements that you might find helpful. One is that we continue to watch the stats on Pulaski County. And as I said a few weeks ago, as soon as those stats decrease down into the yellow zone, for a couple of weeks straight, we will start to talk about coming back to in-person worship. But in the meantime, aren't we blessed that we can gather together in virtual community, which is as real as any community can be? I encourage you to use the chat this morning for praises, for prayers, for comments about the worship. We are monitoring that as worship continues, and so you will be receiving responses today. My name is Pastor Dede. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague, Nick Shimmer, will be bringing our sermon a little bit later on in the worship service. We hope that as you gather together today with friends and family all over the world in this service of worship, that you will be blessed by the Holy Spirit, by the power and presence of God at work in your lives, and you will feel strengthened and encouraged. Though the sun is not shining, my friends, it is a new day, and God has sent the rain to water the world and to help us all grow. Will you pray with me? Oh God, you call us to follow you through the voice and through the person of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we gather this morning, open our hearts, our minds, our very lives to hear his call and to rise up in obedience and joy to follow. We give you thanks for the opportunity to worship together, to sing your praise, to hear your word proclaimed, and to pray together. May all of it be as pleasing to you as it is a blessing for us. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. He is worthy, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Singing, holy, there is no one like. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. Every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Say his name. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you, God. We're singing, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my your heart and lead me in your love.
God this morning.
Sing. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon
morning. What a joy and a blessing it is to be with all of you today on this beautiful Sunday morning. I know it's a bit rainy outside, but any day that we are able to spend in God's kingdom together as a family of faith here at Asbury is a beautiful day. And so I thank you for joining us and being with us this Sunday on the fourth Sunday of Epiphany as we move our way and trek our way closer and closer to Lent. It's just around the corner. I know that's hard to believe, but the year is going by fast. This morning, we have a decision to make, and I want us to stop and think about that decision. Last week, Pastor Didi preached so beautifully on the call of Philip and Nathaniel, and this morning, we're going to shift our attention to the calling of four fishermen. It's really a famous story. It's a story that no doubt so many of you have heard before. But I want to allow this passage, this word, to challenge us where we are today and make that decision. It was so beautiful to hear some of our young ladies of the Asbury Children's Choir as they led us in the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. So these young Christians, we thank them so much, along with Diana and Mary Noble, for putting that together. They have made the decision to follow. We also have another group that is discerning that call to follow right now. Our 2021 confirmation class just got underway. They had their first meeting on Zoom last Sunday. They will meet every Sunday on Zoom for the next 17 weeks as they learn about the roots of their faith. They learn about the history of Methodism. They learn about the history of the church. And then on May 16th, Confirmation Sunday, they will make their final decision as to whether or not they claim their faith as their own to walk with Christ for the rest of their life. Their names, along with their mentors, are printed in the Asbury email that comes out every Saturday. And I encourage you, as we will pray for them this morning, to pray for them as part of your daily prayer life. We love being together in person. We love hearing our children's choir sing. We love watching our confirmands move around the building. Even though that can't happen right now, trust me, your prayers for them will be enough as God walks with them through this process. I'm excited to dive off into this message this morning, but before we do, join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we gather together this morning exactly the way you want us, as a mixed bag of people. All people from different backgrounds and different regions and different parts of the world, also in different states of mind and states of feeling and attitudes of heart. But we find ourselves together here this morning through your grace and through your love as one body who has gathered to hear your mighty word and to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So God, we praise you today that even though we can't be together in person, we are together. We are connected. We are connected by the bonds of your love. And that is all we could ever ask. God, this morning we have so much to pray for. We pray for our nation, God. We pray that the seeds of healing and unity may be rampant, may run wild. May we come together under the umbrella of your love. We pray for our nation's leaders, God. We pray that they will seek your will as they make decisions that are difficult but necessary. God, we pray this morning for the Christian community. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, both here and abroad, who are moving in dark spaces and dangerous places to bring the light of the gospel message of your Son, Jesus Christ, to the world. We ask that you are with them this morning, that you place a hedge of protection around them, that you guide them so that they may bring the message of hope to those who need to hear it the most. We pray this morning for our city. We pray this morning for Little Rock and for the state of Arkansas. We pray for our doctors and frontline workers, both here and across the nation and across the world, as they continue to move and make strides in battling this virus. We ask, God, that you continue to be with them, that you give strength to the weary, that they lead with your heart in the care of others. We pray for all of those who have lost someone during this time. We know that you are with them, that you are placing the hands of love, placing the hands of grace on them, and that you continue to pour into them in a way that they can feel your presence, God. We pray this morning for our church right here at Asbury, for this faithful group of Christian disciples. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith, for Jesselyn Sinkhorn, for June Glazier, for Nate Hill, for Gwen Thorne, for John Howsworth. We pray for all of those who find themselves in a place of struggle, who find themselves in a place of pain, who find themselves in a place of hurt or in a place where they feel lost. God, we ask that you are with them, all of those whose names are on the tips of our tongue, the fronts of our minds, and the tops of our heart. We also pray this morning for these young students, for these young men and women who are walking the road of confirmation. They are together, God, as a community seeking your will. They are seeking to learn all about what it means to truly follow your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we pray for them this morning. We pray for Claire South and her mentor, Sabrina Henson. We pray for Annabel Conrad and her mentor, Leanne Wilson. We pray for Bella Livers and her mentor, Lauren Hall. We pray for Georgia Hart and her mentor, Kim Johnson. We pray for Aubrey O'Banion and her mentor, Karen Marriott. We pray for Paxton Byers and his mentor, Clark Cogville. We pray for Tristan Schimmer and his mentor, Steve Fisher. We pray for Lily Burks and her mentor, Jane Fisher. And we pray for Kirby Odell and her mentor, Sherry Dawson. We give thanks to you, God, for these young students and for the opportunity to be with them as we walk in this journey, in this critical part of their life. And God, may they be guided to a faith in Jesus Christ. May they come to know the power of the cross and the glory of the resurrection. And may they come to see and feel the blessings of all other points in which Jesus Christ enters into our lives, shapes our hearts, and shows us love. And may they pray as we pray, as we all pray, like your Son Jesus Christ taught us, by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark. It is chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. These are very famous verses, but as we go through them today, let them wash over you anew, so that you may see where this call finds you today. Hear now the word of God. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So, word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is a critical turning point in the ministry of our Savior Jesus Christ. He had predominantly been in Judea up until this point. And when John the Baptist is arrested, he shifts his ministry to Galilee, where he will set up his base camp. Many of Jesus' teachings, many of Jesus' miracles will occur right here at this sea. One thing you have to love about Mark and the gospel in the way he tells it is that he is so to the point. Mark is all about the action of Jesus. That's why it takes four gospel writers to give us what we can best tell is the true gospel story of our Savior Jesus Christ. So if you were to read this scripture in a vacuum, you would assume that Jesus just shows up out of nowhere and says, "Come, follow me." It's not the case. Jesus had been in Galilee for a little bit of time. He had been teaching. He had already had a little bit of a following. If you look at Luke's gospel, you can see that as he's coming down the beach at the Sea of Galilee, he has a group of people behind him. He is doing teaching. As a matter of fact, this is not Simon's first encounter with Jesus either. If you recall in Luke's gospel as well, Jesus goes to Simon's house and actually heals his mother-in-law. Now, we have no record of what the nature of the relationship was between Simon and his mother-in-law, but you would have to assume that he was ecstatic that his mother-in-law was healed, as all of us would be. So this is not their first encounter with this rabbi, with this teacher. But I'll tell you what it was. It was a rough night. If you read in John's gospel, you understand that they had had a night where they didn't catch anything. They had no success. So there they are. They're in their boats. And they have their nets, their fishing nets. And they're cleaning them, and they're putting them away. And all of a sudden, after this awful night, when they're probably ready for bed, they're probably tired, they're probably hungry, here comes this rabbi with this ragtag group behind him. And he goes, "Oh great, here comes that teacher again." Jesus is walking along the shoreline and he is saying, "The kingdom has come, the kingdom is near, it is time to repent. It is time to turn away from who you are, from what you think you are, and turn to God, to follow me." So Jesus comes across these four fishermen, two different boats, two different sets of people. And he looks at Simon, he looks at Andrew, and he says very simply, "Come, follow me." And in Mark's brevity, in Mark's quick to the action style of writing, they drop their nets and they go. But we know that Simon and Andrew and James and John are not two-dimensional characters on a piece of paper. These are human beings. These are people who have grown up and felt the full brunt of life. They have grown up with pain, and they've grown up with sorrow, and they've grown up with success and with joy. And I could only imagine that as they are there, folding their nets, Jesus makes them this offer: "Come, follow me." And there has to be a moment. They wouldn't be human if they weren't, but there has to be a moment where they're looking at their net. They're holding it in their hands. And I know this is a prop net, but in those days, these nets would have weights on them. And the way it would work is they would cast it out into the water, and the net would sink and wrap around the fish. Sometimes if they were strong enough, they could pull it back out, but a lot of times they had to dive in, go down to the bottom of the lake, and gather the net. So they're holding this net with all this weight. And in this net is everything that they know about life up to this point. This net signifies their career. It signifies how they provide for their family, for Simon, for his wife, and for his mother-in-law. But in this net is also every scar of their past life. It is their previous pain. It is their previous hurt. But it's also their previous comfort, because this is what's easy. This is what they know. And now they've got this rabbi who, yeah, they've seen perform some miracles, say, "Come, follow me. I know that what you're holding is what you know, and it's what you're comfortable with. And following me is to go into the great unknown. We don't know where we're going or where we're going to end up. But are you ready for a change? More on that in just a second. What makes this proposal, this proposition, so interesting is that Jesus says, I will send you out to fish for people. I will come. We'll be fishers of men. And these men in these boats, they grew up in the synagogue. They grew up hearing the Old Testament scriptures, the passages. And in Old Testament scripture, fishing for men was actually a reference to ensnaring them. It was a way that God made a reference to how he would set traps for divine judgment. In Jeremiah 16:16, God says, but now I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them. After that, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill and from the crevices of the rocks. Hunt them down. In Amos 4:2, the sovereign Lord has sworn by his holiness, the time will surely come where you'll be taken away with hooks, the last of you with fish hooks. You hear this again in Ezekiel and Isaiah and Habakkuk. But here's what's so amazing about Jesus and about this ministry. He doesn't change what God said, but he takes scripture that has always been seen as a negative and turns it into a positive. Because one of the things that Jesus teaches us that we have to learn that is critical is that God knows nothing else but love. Everything that God has done, whether we like it or not, has been done out of love. You ever say that to your kids? Whether you like it or not, I'm doing this out of love. It's going to hurt me much worse than it hurts you. Jesus has a way of taking what we see as negative, what we understand as negative, and turning it into a positive. Let's go back to our fishermen. They are standing there, they are holding the net. And they have a very clear choice, which is to drop the net or stick with what they've always known. I want you to pause for a moment and think and look around. What are the nets in your life? What are the past hurts? What is the scar tissue that is layered over you that you are carrying around today? What are your past failures? What are your past rejections? What are your past relationships that have caused you pain and caused you hesitancy? I want you to remember that everything you have gone through in your life, God has got you through. And you have been transformed into the person you are today. Just like Simon, just like Andrew, everything that they had gone through shaped them for this exact moment when it was time to answer the call to follow Jesus Christ. So they drop their nets and they go. We move a little further down the shore and we come across James and John, sons of Zebedee. Zebedee's with them, and so are hired men. That tells me one thing. For James and John, the fishing business was pretty good business. You don't just have hired help. You don't have men on the payroll if you're not doing well. So business was good. It would be safe to say that for James and John, even though it was a rough night fishing, they probably have a life of relative comfort. They probably have a life of means. They probably have all the things materially they may want. But they are called by Jesus out of that. They are called out of their comfort. They are called to move beyond the things of the world they look around and see that they think they can't live without. All for a promise of the unknown, but a promise we know that is much greater than what we can be given in the world today. All of this was in their hands, but they had to choose to drop the net. They had to leave behind who they were so that God could make them into who they were meant to be. And so they dropped the net. And by heading into the unknown, they were heading into a new state of being. Remember the beginning. Jesus calling, the kingdom has arrived, repent and believe the good news. This was a big moment of repentance for these four fishermen, and that's what the kingdom brings to us. When we fully commit our lives to Christ, we open ourselves up to renewal. We don't open ourselves up to perfection. We're not going to have an easy life. We're not going to have earthly protection, but it does bring us renewal. It renews our heart, it renews our mind, it renews our soul, and it renews our purpose. No, we are not guaranteed a life of ease and comfort when we choose to follow Jesus Christ fully. John the Baptist knew that. Remember the very beginning of this scripture after John was put in prison. John was arrested for speaking truth to Herod. John would ultimately pay with his life, as would these disciples who dropped their nets and chose to go into the unknown. But it wasn't the end of the earthly life. It wasn't the need to know how it was going to end for John, for Simon, for Andrew, for James. It was just knowing that if we move forward in faith, and if we follow Jesus Christ and give our life fully to Him, then what happens doesn't matter. Because I am being redeemed, I am being transformed, I am following the will of a God who loves me unconditionally. For all of us, we are following in some way. For those of us that are Christians that are watching this morning, the question is, are we running after Christ, or are we slowly scooting along the seashore, kicking seashells? Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. We have to be willing to move beyond what we are in the world to be what God transforms us into being in His kingdom. But we do that by dropping the net and burying our dead yesterdays. I'll tell you a story. I grew up in suburban Kansas City. As a matter of fact, I've always lived in somewhat relative suburban areas. So one of the things that I have never been awoken to is the sound of a rooster crowing. For those of you that grow up on farms, you know good and well that when a rooster is crowing, you have no need for an alarm clock. They will wake you up just fine on their own. But Jennifer and I were blessed for our 10th anniversary to be able to vacation in Hawaii, where there are more roosters than you can shake a stick at. In fact, the rooster is probably the national roadkill of Hawaii. But I remember the first night, being woken up at daybreak by the sound of a rooster. It's an unmistakable sound, and it's something you'll never forget, and it's something that no matter how many times you hear it, it always does the job and wakes you up. Simon drops his net and follows Jesus. His name changes from Simon to Peter. We know the passion of Peter. We know the enthusiasm of Peter. We know that Peter is eccentric. You don't just cut the ears off of guards if you're a normal guy. But when Jesus is carried away to the cross, when he is arrested, he tells Peter very boldly, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Peter, in his certainty and his arrogance, says this will never happen. We know the story. We know that that's exactly how it happens. So I wonder after that time, if after Jesus was crucified and buried, how Peter felt every time he heard a rooster crow. Did he feel a twinge of guilt? Did it come rushing back to him what he had done? It wasn't until Jesus, post-resurrection, finds Peter fishing and has breakfast with him and tells him, I love you, you've got work to do, that Peter is freed from the shackles of his past mistakes. And for all of us, Jesus comes to us and says, come, follow me. I love you. Don't live back there. Let's go. And this offer that Christ makes for all of us is a standing offer. It is always on the table. We have to make the choice to drop the net. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Yeah. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open. Thank you. So come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus
Christ. Well, friends, it's been so great to be in worship with you today and to hear that stirring message and to be able to walk into the rest of the day with the thought on our minds. Truly follow in obedience and joy. Truly follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, as we prepare to end worship, I do want to remind you that we have a Sunday school class that meets on Facebook Live at 11:05 this morning. 11:05 for Sunday school class. Join us there if you would like. And other activities and opportunities, watch your five things as it comes out each week. That can be accessed through your email or on our Asbury website. So look there for upcoming events. Now let us pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the time that we have had to be in worship. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit of truth and of discernment upon us, that each of us, and indeed all of us, might recognize those things in our lives from which you want to free us. And in being made free, we may truly choose to follow, to be your disciples, to learn from you, to imitate your love, and to be ambassadors of salvation in our homes, in our places of work, in our city abroad, and even to the ends of the earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Go in peace, my friends. Amen.